How we doing, family? I love this family. Who here loves Valley Church family? Well, it's very rare that, I know we just prayed for Travis, but I want someone actually to pray for me. It's very rare that I come up here and I either ask Pastor Lynn or I get in the breakthrough room. I wasn't able to get in the breakthrough room with our amazing intercessors. So I was praying during worship and I felt like I heard there's a special woman who's going to pray for me. And I'll just say this about this amazing woman. A prophetic woman named Haley Braun. Anyone know Haley Braun? Bethel. Said over this woman that she can release wild catalytic grace. Now, I've had a long weekend. I did a wedding yesterday. I've been crying since last night. I came in and I'm like, you're singing How Great Thou Art. And I just started weeping again. So I could use some of that catalytic, wild catalytic grace. So I'm going to ask my wife to come up and pray for me. Isn't she beautiful? Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Love you. Woo! Love that woman. 21 years married. 21 years. It's not our anniversary, but I can do that math, even not on the anniversary day. Okay, man, I am so excited for today. I kind of want a pastoral heart from the heart moment. This week, we're kind of at the halfway point of our table groups. Give a shout out if you're a part of a table group. Woo! And I got to spend about 10 to 20 minutes with each of the leaders this week. You know who you are in the room. Just asking questions. How's it been going? And I will tell you, my heart was so full from all of the one to another's and loving of neighbor that's happening in the table groups. Amen? Just people who are grieving the loss of a loved one, husband or wife getting loved on, single moms getting taken care of, people finding friendships who didn't really have a friendship in the church. And to be real, I was just so full hearing all that. And then yesterday, I know many of you were here for Brad and Jen Kula. I can say Brad and Jen Kula now. And just the months leading up to it, the last 3 days, from the morning yesterday all the way to McCall, there were just people. I'm not going to list people. You know who you are. But I was just so grateful for this family and all the love that the family, our family, not just their biological family, but our family showed. And I just want to say as a pastor, I'm proud of how well you love this morning with his love. So anyway, it's been one of those weeks of just seeing so many, that's not what I'm preaching on, but that was on my heart to share. Like, Jesus sees all of that. And I know you don't do it for man. You're not doing it for a pastor. You do it unto Jesus. But I also want to honor all of you. Just like, there's so much love that happened this week, so many sacrifices, generosity, and I'm just grateful. I'm grateful for this family. Okay, are you guys ready for the word of the Lord today? I want you to say, I'm ready.
Ready.
I'm hungry.
Hungry.
I'm thirsty.
Thirsty.
Jesus,
feed me.
Wash me
with the water
of your word.
So I can be without wrinkle,
blemish,
or stain,
shining radiant
for all to see,
for your glory.
Amen.
I should just close in prayer, man. Wasn't worship amazing this morning?
Oh, man.
I think I got all my tears out. I don't have tissues, but no one needs to scroll. You know what? Just in case, I'll get these. Just in case. I love weddings, and man, the daddy-daughter dance, the mother-son dance got me last night. How many does that get you when the father, oh my God, I was a blubbering mess just over in the corner like, So I think I have all my tears out so I can actually like read what, you know, my glasses will get all stained and all that, but I think I'm good. I got them all out. Okay, so I love to prepare. If you've known me, work with me in the church, I actually enjoy the planning process. So I know here at Valley, we're all about the presence, not the plan, but there's still glory on planning. Amen. We still need to plan things. We just need to be led of the Spirit, right? But today wouldn't happen if there wasn't a lot of planning. Just what you've enjoyed from a clean carpet to all of that. So planning. But I love planning when I go on a trip, packing for trips. And my wife will joke, you know, basically I'll take everything but the kitchen sink when I go on a trip. She's like, you know, every time she does this, you know we're only going for 2 days. You know we're only going for 1 day. And I'm like, I need an extra socks, extra underwear. She taught me years ago, roll it up military style, you can fit more in. You taught me that like 18 years ago. And so I'm rolling up. And so my side of the suitcase, sometimes we take one suitcase, you know, her side's this side. Plenty of room for more stuff. Mine's packed like 4 inches up. And then, okay, so there's others here who like, there's nothing wrong. Hey, I needed that today. Thank you. But let me go a little further. You know, when you're on the road, you're eating maybe greasy food, you're eating out, and it feels good in the moment, but it can somehow affect you. I always pack Metamucil. If you don't do that and have trouble on the road, I've been doing it for 15 years, and I have no problems, amen. So I like to be prepared. You never know what's going to happen. So I get my Metamucil. I get my vitamin D with K. Important to have vitamin D with K. The combo. They've done studies. I won't go into that. I bring my Costco all-day vitamin, right? Those gummies that give you all that stuff. Melatonin gummies. You know, if I have a hard time sleeping, I can pop those, right? I even bring a box fan. So at the men's retreat, I'm like, I'm in the same room with Raul, and my wife knows I snore like a freight train. And here's the funny part. I actually got one of those, Darilla-like pillows that are supposed to help with the snoring. She said it actually, like, amplified my snoring. So instead of, it's, she jolts out of bed. Is the rapture? Is he coming? You know, what's going on? But I bought, you know, on our men's retreat, I'm like, maybe I might snore and I can't have, I mean, I'm just kind of getting to know Raul. I need him to get good nights of sleep so he actually knows what he's saying to our men. So I brought my back box fan. I said, Raul, is it okay? I have my box fan going. He's like, yeah, I'm used to white noise. That's great, you know. So I like to be prepared, right? It's good to be prepared. There's not necessarily anything wrong with being prepared. However, sometimes we can be misdirected in all the emphasis we put on certain preparation to the detriment of more important preparation. I'm gonna say that again. And I'm gonna throw myself under the bus again here. It's like, man, every time I go to preach, I have all these like great things to say. And I'm like, Lord, I don't wanna say these stories from the last couple months because they're embarrassing. And as you know, I've been in a season where he's like, yes, you need to throw yourself under the bus. I'm like, okay, that's great. Let's do it. But you can prepare outwardly and yet miss it inwardly. And maybe you can relate with work or just in life where you're like, man, I put all this emphasis here and it fell through, wasn't even needed, and yet I neglected this relationship. You know, I think this is a tendency in our flesh, in our weakness, in our foolishness, if I can use that word, foolishness. I'm going to kind of be vulnerable here with something. A few of you know in the room, my wife definitely knows. She's probably going to smirk and laugh at this. But so a month ago today, on the 19th of September, I am driving to Boise for a former member of the church who's gone on to be with the Lord. We were celebrating him as a veteran, and it was a veterans memorial at the Veterans Memorial Cemetery there in Boise. My first time there, and there was going to be some beautiful words said, a brief sermonette, words about this man's life. And I had a friendship with this guy, and so I went, and I wanted to just support whoever was there, and I even had a role to play in filming it. But as I'm driving, there's a backstory that you need to know. And for the last couple months, there has been a lot of buzz about the rapture happening. Has anyone heard of this? Okay, so there's Jewish holidays. I don't want to go deeply into this, but one of the Jewish holidays that starts the year is called Rosh Hashanah, and that's the Feast of Trumpets, okay? Feast of Trumpets, and throughout, it's in the scriptures, but it would be the blowing of trumpets would start that feast. And all these things began to collide, and I saw this one video, and it said, for the first time ever, 100 Jewish rabbis are going to blow 100 shofars, and it's going to be streamed across the world. I'm like, first time ever? That's cool. But does that mean you're coming, Lord? There's talks of a peace treaty in the Middle East. Daniel 9 talks of a peace treaty, right? Now, again, this is all up to interpretation, and I'm like, huh, that's interesting. And it just seemed to be, as I went to the scriptures, as I'm having conversations, has anyone done this, where you begin everything you begin to see through a filter? And I'm like, we need to get prepared. It's like I go to Wednesday morning prayer. I'm preparing for my VHSM Bible class, and the scriptures to me are speaking to the imminent return of Jesus. And I'm like, he's coming. We got to get prepared. And so as I'm driving away, or at the end of this memorial, and again, this is all going through my head. I had no clue who was going to speak. And the guy chose for the scripture, and we'll all be gone in the twinkling of an eye. And I'm just like, and then I know I've never been to a veteran's service, and I was a trumpet player growing up, and I've been thinking a lot about trumpets, Feast of Trumpets. I mean, there were people predicting on the 23rd or 24th of September, Jesus is coming back. Okay, there were a lot of voices, kids having dreams. It's going to be days of darkness before it. I went way too deep. I'm just going to be confessing here down that rabbit. Yeah, she's laughing. She knows. Okay, this is where she's laughing, because this is where it goes to a whole nother level. So I'm leaving, and I'm like, then they end with taps. Da-na-na-na-na. I'm like, is this the last trumpet in Boise before he comes? I'm like, what's going on? So I called Tessa, and I said, this is no joke. Because many were predicting there'd be 3 days of darkness before the rapture. Remember in Exodus, before the Jews are brought out of Egypt, there were 3 days of darkness. Jesus on the cross, 3 hours of darkness. I started seeing all the patterns. I know the scripture pretty well. And I'm like, Tessa, it's all there. I'm telling you, this could be the weekend. This could be the day. So I call her on the phone as I'm driving down State Street. And I go, did Parker get the candles and the matches? She's like, you're scaring me. What's going on? I'm like, did he get the extra candles and the matches? Dude, I know this is like, this is healing. This is like a public breakthrough session for me, okay? So we can do corporate once in a while, right? So Linda knows too. I was talking with her. Now, I wanted to just get you all up to date. The rapture did not happen on September 23rd and 24th. If you did not get the news yet, you were not left behind. I'm here, you're here. I believe many in this room, if not most, know Jesus, because I could feel his presence all this morning. My preparation in looking for signs and I was looking for the day or the hour. I mean, this is embarrassing as a pastor to say. I grew up better than this. My dad warned me. He says, son, when I was early in the faith, he's like, be careful never to predict the day or the hour. There was a guy who my dad respected, and I don't want to name names here, who in 1988 said, Jesus is coming. You guys, I'm seeing nods in the room. 88 was a big year, okay? And I actually read some of this guy's stuff just to be informed of what he was thinking in 88 when I was like in high school. So my dad taught me well. But even with all that, I found myself beginning to prepare outwardly. Yet in the midst of all that, it was about 3 months ago, and I'm about a couple weeks into this, like, Lord, could you come soon? I heard him whisper in my heart, and I believe this is what the Lord spoke directly to my heart. Matthew You don't need to prepare for chaos or a specific day or hour. You don't need to rush to go out and lead the world to Christ overnight. Would you simply be my bride? Would you let me prepare you for my coming in the secret place of your heart? Now, that word was dropped in early, and I was going in and out of that word, to be real. Sometimes we get a word, but we have to learn the lessons to fully embrace the word. And let me say this, guys. I do not, like, I have compassion. I'm not at this point, in my heart posture is not to bash myself. The Lord is so kind. You know, Pastor Christy during mid-service said, like, there are areas of her life, like, Jesus is not the first thought when she wakes up. How many have felt convicted? You have areas where Jesus is not your first thought. You run to your plans, your thoughts on the matter. I can stand before you now and have no shame because we have a good Father. And this is what I feel like he's told me. He's like, Matthew, the reason I had to say multiple times you don't know the day or the hour is because I knew my people would have deep within them this longing and knowing that I'm going to come back. But sometimes we get off and misguided in that. We get in the flesh. We get outward when we need to go inward with the Lord. Amen? And that's a big lesson. I feel like for the last 3 months, one of the big lessons the Lord has been teaching me. And so naturally, in my quiet times with the Lord, he kept speaking in this bride image, in bride language. This was back in August. And so I want us to go to today's scripture. And this came up many times the last couple months for me, and I'm excited to preach on this. This is Matthew 25. So if you have your Bibles, I'm reading out of the New King James Version. This is the main text for today. And I'm just going to read through this. And Pastor Christy was talking about the poor in spirit in the kingdom of heaven. Well, today we're going to learn, what is the kingdom of heaven like? That's the whole context of all these parables right here, is Jesus is saying, this is the feel, this is the manner of the kingdom, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. And notice he doesn't say, this is exactly what's going to happen at the end, so don't worry about it, put it on the shelf. He's saying, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. Present tense. Okay. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise, 5 of them were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. This scripture's come up a lot in the last couple months. And I have not studied this in years, and it's not been, but recently it's come up. As I read this, I felt like the Lord's like, this isn't just about being ready for my return, it's being ready for every time I appear. I'm gonna say that again. It's not just about being ready for that ultimate day, although it is. But he doesn't say this is what the ultimate day looks like, so this is how you prepare. He said this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. Guys, we're in the kingdom of heaven now. The kingdom of heaven was at hand when Jesus was on earth. But praise the Lord, when we got filled with the Spirit, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit is the kingdom. The kingdom's in us and we're in the kingdom. So this isn't just about his return one day. Is it about that? Yes. But I felt this direct call out to myself this is about every time I appear. You know, and even we sang today, and Pastor Christy was talking about how many moments we miss because we're preparing for the wrong thing. We're not preparing in the way that this parable tells us to prepare. Okay. I want to just work through this just for understanding. I won't go too deep into it just for the time we have. This isn't a teaching lesson. I want to preach here. In first century Jewish wedding, these were the virgins were like the bridesmaids. So the equivalent today, it says 10 virgins. A good way of interpreting that in our modern world is bridesmaids, right? They waited with lamps to light the path when the groom would arrive at night for the bride. And I was reading some Jewish history. This is fascinating. There was times in Jewish history where the husband would surprise the wife to make sure she was ready. The husband would surprise the wife. And so those bridesmaids need to be ready. And that bride needed to be ready. So there's rich significance. I encourage you sometime, if this intrigues you or you feel like the Holy Spirit's prompting you, you could study the background on this for weeks or months. And it adds so much richness, because when Jesus said this, his Jewish audience would have understood and probably been at these weddings and experiences, okay? So the 10 virgins represent, again, Jesus spoke in parables, but it was representative. And as we read the fulfillment of the whole New Testament, we now have understanding. So we can go back to the parables with enlightenment. Does that make sense? So what is Jesus saying here? The 10 virgins are believers. They're the called. They're all invited. They're all waiting. This is the whole body of Christ. Okay? But only some had oil. Only some had oil. The lamp represents here maybe outward readiness. The oil represents inward readiness. Let me say that again. The lamp represents your outward appearance or readiness. The oil is your inward readiness. Let's go to verses 2-4, if you could pull those up. Do we have that scripture there? Okay, so just listen up. This is why it's good. Again, if you have your phones, I will not be offended if you pull out your phone. If you want to follow along, do you have to follow along? No. Okay, so verses 3-4, those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. The wise brought extra oil. Everyone say extra oil. This was secret reserves no one could see. That's the implication. They privately did this. Okay? The foolish had lamps, a public image of devotion, but nothing deep to sustain the flame. The oil represents intimacy with Jesus. The secret life with him that no one applauds but heaven sees. Example of this, where I saw this, and again, I've been learning this the last couple months, just how important the secret place is. And at men's retreat, I got to meet Raul and his team, and I just felt the presence of God over all of them. I felt the presence of God on Raul. I met him once here when Bill Johnson was here. We talked for a little bit, but I got to share rooms with him, and instead of going to, I know he would never speak of this, but I can speak on his behalf. Let another praise you, not your own lips. And I was really impressed with the team. I felt the Spirit right over him and his team and just the way he's discipling them. But it's 6:00, it's dinner time. Well, 5:30 was dinner, and he had a meeting at 5:30 that first night with his guys. And at 6:00, we share the same room. And I wanted to just go to take a quick break after dinner, and the door was locked. And right away, it was like, Matthew, don't force anything here. He has closed the door. He's going in, and this is his oil time with Jesus. And that just touched me. That touched me. It was like, right away, it's like, oh, the door's locked. I know exactly what's going on. Don't touch it. You don't need to be in there. You go somewhere else, okay? And I respected that, okay? And the preaching was so powerful there at men's retreat. And what I knew just being around Raul and sharing a room is he's got a secret life with Jesus. He has secret oil, not just a flame that burns. Amen? The bridegroom delayed. Let's read verse 5. But while the bridegroom was delayed, They all slumbered and slept. You see, Jesus doesn't always come when we expect him to come. Have you noticed that? That sometimes he shows up at a time you weren't expecting him? He reveals himself in an unlikely person or at an unlikely time. I think Jesus likes to do that. He likes those surprise, I'm not going to call them attacks. Surprise reveals, maybe? Yeah, I won't say attack with Jesus. He never attacks. So they all got tested. Notice this, all got tested. Those with reserves and those without reserves. All of his people get tested. None of us are out of the testing process. He's testing all of our oil. Okay, verse 6, there's at midnight, a cry was heard. Here's the bridegroom. In Scripture, midnight often represents the moment of deep darkness. It's the moment God suddenly breaks through. Remember Paul and Silas? It was at midnight. The exodus of the Jews out of Egypt was at midnight, right? There's this theme. It's like he comes when it's like the deepest darkness. It's like when all hope is gone, boom, he shows up. When the bridegroom comes, he doesn't announce it days ahead. He shows up unexpectedly. And that's when your hidden oil either shines or runs out. Okay, verses 7 and 9, to trim a lamp meant cutting away the burnt wick so the flame could burn bright again. This is what happens when revival happens. And again, Pastor Christy was talking about all of this during mid-service. He cuts away what's charred on the flame so it can burn pure again. The trimming is that, Lord, cut out of me anything that is not worthy of this intimate relationship we have in the secret place. Lord, trim it. How many have been trimmed in the last couple months? How many have been pruned, right? That's John 15. Here you could say trimming, right? Man, I've been trimmed and pruned and cut up in various ways. Praise God. But I'm still standing here today by the grace of God. The foolish couldn't borrow oil. You can't borrow someone else's intimacy with Christ. You can feed off it, be encouraged by it, kind of ride the wave in their presence, but you can't feed off of your pastor, your spouse, the person you look up to most in the church. You can't borrow intimacy oil. Don't you hear that in this passage? It's not that they were selfish, the wise. It's just, I can't do this. You got to go find your own way to get this. Don't hear selfishness, because we're like, oh, they're not being generous. Don't even think that. It's because it's like a law. It's a matter of fact. This was our private reserve. This was between me and the one to come, and Jesus. I cannot go give you my intimacy oil. Woo! And it doesn't mean we're not encouraged by others and look up to others and have others pray for us, but they cannot give us the intimacy oil. Come on. Okay, the door is shut. Man, this 10 through, it kind of reminds you of Noah's Ark, right? That's what I thought of. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. This isn't about exclusion. It's about opportunity. I don't think the heart of Jesus is, I just want to exclude some. I don't think his heart to test is to exclude, but he does come with visitation and opportunity. So be careful in this passage, because you can come away with a lot of sense of dread and judgment. That's not the heart of Jesus. Okay? Watch therefore hour. Watch therefore. Don't miss the, you don't know the day or the hour. He's not saying fear the end. He's saying stay near the one who's always appearing. Let me say that again. He's not saying you don't know the day or the hour, therefore be in dread, like I was beginning to do and calculate. That passage was for me. I mean, if it wasn't written for you, it was written for me, because I did that. But this passage is saying, be ready because you never know when I'm going to appear. He's the one who was. He died for me. He rose again. I live by the finished works of the cross. My past does not own me. He was the one who was and is in the inner secret place and the one who is to come. So yes, he's always with you, but he's always coming as well. Don't you love that about Jesus? I love, what's the bedrock? That's the whole point of this passage. The bedrock is that inner reserve oil between me and Jesus. That's where I'm anchored. But I have expectancy from within for him to show up without. Amen? Okay, Lord, help me here. Okay, we're done with that. What'd you say? Thank you. Praise God. Isn't Pastor Renee the best cheerleader? Come on. I see you in the spirit like a cheerleader. A cheerleader filled with the encouragement of Jesus Christ. You've encouraged me hundreds of times. Love it. You know, and again, as I read this passage time and time again in the last couple months, I heard that whisper again. Matthew, not time to calculate, plan, strategize, prepare outwardly. Can I get you ready as my bride? I want us to go to Colossians, and I think it's important when you're in the Gospels to then ask the Holy Spirit, where is this in the letters? And then when you're in the letters, where is this in the Gospels? Does that make sense? Because the Gospels share truth through Jesus, the red letter, in an amazing way. But then the same Jesus is communicating through Paul in a different angle almost. Same truth, same reality, not contradictory. Let's go to Colossians 1, 26 and 27. Colossians 1, 26. Oh, it's working. Awesome. Okay. In the name of Jesus, work. Okay. Okay. I'm still looking. In Jesus' name, work. No, here we go. Do I need to cast something out? Okay. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed. Everyone say revealed. He's a God who reveals, he appears, he manifests, he reveals his glory. To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is, what's the mystery? Someone say it loud. Say it again. The mystery that all of redemption history was leading up was Christ where? In the inner reserves where the oil is. And as I begin to know him here, I can have hope of outward glory. He's going to show up in my circumstance. He's going to flow through me to bless someone else. I'm going to prophesy. He's going to prophesy over me. I'm going to see financial provision. Does this make sense? Okay. Hidden, revealed, private, public, secret, shining. That's what the oil is. The oil is Christ in you and your relationship with him. It's formed in hiddenness so it can be revealed in glory. So a few weeks after God, I got this whisper back in, I think it was August. I'm losing, man, it's been a busy 3 months. It's been wonderful. And he said, I want to get you ready as my bride. I think it was August, and I've done communion here in the last 11 years, I don't know how many times, I'll say 50, I don't know. I've led in communion a lot, and that morning I was in my oil time with Jesus, and I said, what do you want me to speak? And he said, I want you to share that communion is my wedding proposal. You might have been here that Sunday. I don't believe, said that ever, or had that really occur to me. And so that Sunday, as I'm leading in this, I felt like the Lord's like, communion is this wedding proposal. You know, will you be mine? It's going to be in secret now, but one day there's going to be the wedding feast, the wedding supper of the Lamb, and then it'll be fully in glory. We'll be face to face, right? So that's what I shared that Sunday. And then after service, I think we had a Next Steps, I believe, that day. I can't remember. I don't know if it was Next Steps, but I was in the church for a while, and that's when Brad Kula came up to me, and he had already intended because they had prayed about it. Brad Kula comes up to me and says, would you officiate our wedding? And I was like, I just stared at him and I'm like, he didn't know that I had been meditating and hearing the Lord talk to me about the being the bride for weeks at this point. Isn't God good? And let me tell you, when we did premarital counseling in Pastor Rich's office, and when they would show up and I just begin to pray, I begin to feel the manifest presence of God fall in that office. How many love the manifest presence of God? He's in here, but when he just shows up and it just falls on you, amen? I mean, I barely got the prayer out. And then the Lord says, yes, your oil in secret, what's hidden, I'm now going to make manifest. And I'll tell you, they said I was a blessing to them. I feel like those two and how they've prepared themselves for each other spiritually. And I was blessed through them because I saw Jesus. Jesus came to me through them. And it all culminated in the wedding last night. I was like, that was one of my most favorite things I've ever got to do in my whole life, was to do their premarital counseling. What a pure, amazing, Jesus-loving couple. But that whole thing was almost surreal to me because I had a month of him speaking, I want you to be the bride, can I wash you? And now he's like, you're not fully getting it. I'm going to make this really real, and I'm going to manifest myself through Brad and Jen, and you're literally going to officiate their wedding. Sometimes I need it really literal. Anyone else here need, like, you're not getting it fully, and he's like, you know, he wouldn't hit us like that, but he's like, come on, son, I'm going to make this really clear to you what I'm getting at. You need to have the inner reserve. How many times have I missed moments because there was nothing ready in here? I wasn't ready here, and I was focused on being ready out here. Anyone been there? Whew. Okay, Lord, where are we going here? Jesus, help me. I'm not going to go into the testimony here, but I mean, I've been learning this lesson a lot. Men's retreat, you know, I'm in charge of it. We have all these plans. Here's the food, all that. And again, I love preparing all that. All the volunteers who were involved, our men's committee, it was so fun. And that preparation is needed. But right in the middle of it, halfway through it, I'm walking across the gym and I'm like, I got to get ready it's 5:30. We all need to eat. I want to make sure we're good. I mean, Craig did an amazing job emceeing. I'm like, he's on it, but I should be there. I should oversee. And Pastor Lynn pulled me in and him and I got to minister to a young gentleman there. And can I tell you, out of that whole weekend, that was the moment I needed to be ready for. And we saw Jesus manifest his freedom and power and glory. And the Jesus in me became manifest outside of me. And I go, you still deliver. You still walk in power. And I was in awe and worship the rest of the night. Can I tell you, I could have missed that moment. I'm thankful I was ready. But I think of the moments I wasn't ready. That just became real to me. I don't know, is the worship team here? Would you come up for a final number here? You know, I don't know where you find yourself today. I don't know how this is specifically speaking to you, but, you know, Pastor Kyan has been saying for months, this has been really spurring me on, in his prayers and just our conversation, he's been prophesying out, there's going to be a revival of the secret place. There's going to be a revival. It's like he's been carrying a banner. He's been sharing it with our youth on Wednesday night in prayer times and intercession. I've heard him say probably 50 times, there's a revival of the secret place. There's a revival of the secret place. Because if we go after the outward revival and how Jesus is going to fall in this place and all that, we can easily get off. And in a way, we're looking for the day or the hour. And it's this outward preparation when Jesus is saying, I want to know you in the secret place. And every time I come, you'll be ready for it. Because I prepare you inside before you're ready to see me outside. Since I've been little, one of my favorite hymns is How Great Thou Art. How many love How Great Thou Art? Didn't Elvis sing that? I think he did. He did a number of that. That was beautiful. But my favorite version of this song, my dad, who went on to be with the Lord about 11 years ago, when we would drive and have long drives or just around the house, he would belt this song out. And so it has, I'm obviously singing, when I sing it to the Lord, but I can't help but simultaneously think of my dad. So that's why I was weeping like crazy this morning. And I'm thankful that my dad had a secret life with the Lord. And many times I caught him praying or reading the word at early hours or late at night. And that stuff imprinted in me. He's a man of the word. He's a man of a secret place with the Lord. And so I thought we would just close today just by singing this song one more time together. But the lyrics are, "When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I will bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art." And the Lord had me prepare all this, and then I said, "Oh, let me look at what the set list is." I'm like, "Oh, I can't believe it's how great thou art." And that, I mean, was so beautiful this morning. And I felt like the Lord's like, "Yeah, that's what I want you to say. I want to be ready when he comes with a heart of humble adoration, but that's a lifestyle he wants. He wants that every day, amen? Every day I want to bow in humble adoration." Adoration speaks of love, that first love. You know, just yesterday, those that were there, it's like this wedding. It's like there was so much love. I was on stage and these two were reading their vows and there was a lot of love. Amen. It was pouring out. I was crying. I'm like, "Man, I can barely stand up." And the Lord's like, "This is a picture, Matthew. I'm manifesting what I've been saying in secret. And I'm showing you right now to make this clear, to make this manifest, to make this visible, that what I really want is a face-to-face friendship, an intimate relationship between bride and groom, father and son. This is what it's all about. Stop majoring on the outward things, and they need to get done. But all that can be a distraction if we don't know him here, and we miss the good moments even in the outward planning because we weren't prepared in the inward. Jesus, you are the best Savior. And I thank you that even when we get off track and we get focused on the wrong thing, you are a gentle, loving, compassionate, patient Savior who always brings us back to you. I thank you, you don't beat us over the head when we get foolish. Lord, I've been the foolish one in this parable. But thank you, Lord, you love us back into being wise and having that inner oil with you. And so, God, I just bless everyone's secret place this week, even right now, Lord. I thank you. As Pastor Kyan has been saying, I declare with him a revival of the secret place, Lord. Lord, we don't want to just know you outwardly and raise our hands on a Sunday or at a service, but don't know you in the quiet hours of our heart. So, Lord, we repent for you not being the first thought on our day. Lord, we repent of not having that inner reserve of oil with you, for allowing you to make us ready as your bride, not just for your ultimate coming, but how you're gonna show up when we're with our family, when we're taking a walk, when we're ministering or at church. Lord, we wanna be ready for those moments. So Lord, I bless each one in the name of Jesus. I pray that you'd bless their rest of your day, their week. I thank you that you go before them and that you've already worked out all the things that concern them. You already have pre-planned solutions for them. Financial, physical, whatever it is. I pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Are you glad you've been at church today? You feel filled up?